Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Simon's Cat, Off to the Vet is the name of the book. I will tell you, I have been a fan for such a long time. You go to YouTube, and a percent of those cat videos are this guy's cartoons. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google or go to YouTube and just type in Simon's Cat. The author, Simon Tofield. What a pleasure it is to finally talk to you from the UK, no less.
Well, hello. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So here's the question I have. I've got to get the scoop on this. Simon's Cat. I know that. It's all about Simon, but it's really about the cat, except I don't know your cat's name. I don't know if that was ever divulged. So for the first time in the history of the world, what is your cat's name?
Well, I kind of deliberately kept the cat without a name, the cartoon cat, because I found as soon as the films came out, if a girl saw the cartoon, she'd say, I love your cat. She's adorable. If a boy watched the cartoon, he would say, I love your cat. He's great. So I realized that everyone was putting their own kind of gender and personality onto the cat. But in real life, when I did the very first film, Kathmandu, about the little kitten waking up the man in the bed with a baseball bat, my real cat, Hugh, gave me that idea when he was a little fluffy kitten. So I always think of the cat as being called Hugh because of my old cat, Hugh. He passed away this year.
Oh,
sadly.
I'm sorry.
But,
yes.
But hopefully he'll live on now in the cartoons.
And how many cats do you have currently in the real Simon, you?
Well, I have three now.
And what are their names?
Well, I've got old Jess. She's a little tortoise shell. Very whiny, always whining for attention and food. Then there's Big Maisie, and she's a really gorgeous-looking grey and white tabby. And then the latest addition is Teddy, who is a sort of black, long-haired cat, very affectionate, likes to chirp.
Now, what is your... Now, you've captured these cats perfectly, and I want to talk about that in a moment, but I want to talk about you. You know, I mean, all these interviews, I'm sure, are about Simon's cat. I want to know about Simon. At what point did you say, you know, I want to make a movie and star my cat or this? I mean, how did that all come about?
Well, by accident, really. I mean, I made a film to teach myself a computer program called Flash. And as I say, that morning, my little kitten, Hugh, had woken me up in bed, and I was thinking, what shall I do to just test this program? And so I thought, I'll just do a little quick film. It only took me sort of a week and a few days. It didn't really take me very long. And then basically, to cut a long story short, someone saw it and asked if they could use it on their website. I said, yes, of course. And then they phoned me and said, you better do something with this film because it's crashed our website twice. we've had 30,000 hits over two nights, and our website keeps crashing. And then I realized that this little character that I'd made up, without really even thinking about it, was something that people would like to see more of. So then I started to think about more films. And having kept cats all my life, I had plenty of material to use.
Well, what do you think resonates? I mean, what have you done right that has clearly struck a chord with people?
I think it's people can see their own pet in the animations. People with cats and even dogs, you know, can recognize some of the situations and the mannerisms, and it makes them say, "Oh, my cat does that." And I think that immediately makes them feel like they know this cat, they own this cat, they get very protective of the animations. You know, they share them with other cat lovers, because I think cats have always cats always act the same way. I mean, a cat in Germany acts the same as a cat in America or England. So by me doing the mannerisms and the noises and the tail movements, then everyone who has cats worldwide can recognize the humor and the character of these animals.
You know, cats are pretty subtle, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and you make them... You make these, I think part of your secret might be these subtle things the cats do, they're not so subtle in your animation and your video.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to push it slightly, like...
Well, I think that's part of the reason why it resonates. I mean, people, they associate, I think you're right, but in some cases may have even said to themselves, oh, my cat does do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, just knowing cats like I do, I'm kind of inside their heads a little bit, so like the baseball bat gag. I mean, obviously cats can't pick up a baseball bat, but everyone knows they probably would if they could, because they have that kind of malicious, evil side to them just to get what they want, they would do it.
So how do you get inside the head of cats? I mean, you're not a trained behavior guy like I am or whatever. How did you – now I can see, okay, you've been doing this a while. And by the way, how long have you been doing it? But how did you get inside their head?
I think, well, I've always loved cats from an early age. And I got my first cat when I was 9. But even before that, I'd been begging for years for my poor old mum to get me a cat. And she held off till I was 9 years old. And I've just always been fascinated with them. And you know, watching them and having spending time with them and, you know, learning all the time. And I think you just kind of pick things up. I mean, there is no book about, you know, I haven't really sort of studied them or done any courses or anything, but I just know what they would do in a certain situation or, you know, what they'd probably be thinking of doing. And I can use that in my films. And people get it, you know. People can understand that and laugh and think, "Yep, that's my Tigger. That's what he would do." You know, that kind of sense of humor. So,
how long have you been doing this now?
Well, the Simon's Cat started in about 2009.
So, what was your job in 2009?
Well, before the actual, I started doing the Simon's Cat. I was an animator, but I was animating commercials and doing kind of mundane things like butter melting and letters and, you know, really just paying the bills kind of things, but not really. I've always had a love of cats, so me making my own films about cats is like an ideal job, but I never ever thought it would ever come to anything.
And is it a full-time gig now? Is this what you do?
Yes, it is, yeah. I've got quite a big crew, and, well, I mean, it's not big as in companies go, but there's an animator now, and we've got a brand manager, and we've got bits and bobs and sort of looking after the website, and it allows me to think of some, you know, to think of ideas, and we've got obviously got the books out, and so we've got a little company now, and it's growing.
Simon, it is so fun to talk to you, and I will continue our conversation. So you please sit and stay. Talking to a cat guy saying sit and stay, I hope you understand what I mean. We'll be right back. We're talking to Simon Tofield, author of Simon's Cat, Off to the Vet and Other Catastrophes. Simon is responsible for all those cartoons that you see with a cat by the name of Simon. Do you think you've done anything to help us better understand our cats?
Well, I don't know about that, but I always do the worst case scenario, and I'm always worried that I would put people off. See, I'm always worried that some mum would turn around and say, "We're not getting a cat. I've seen Simon's Cat. He's going to ruin the furniture. He'll scratch the curtains. It'll break the table. You know, he'll be sick. He'll, you know." So I'm thinking, "Oh, I hope I don't put off cat lovers." If anything, I'd like to promote sort of rescue cats and trying to sort of spread that message, but hopefully I don't put people off.
And you are spreading the message about going to the veterinarian. Simon's Cat, Off to the Vet is exactly about that. Can you talk about that a bit?
Well, for a long time, I've had this kind of idea about, you know, going to the vet. So it's such a rich subject, and everyone's always said, "When are you going to do a vet film?" And I've been kind of holding off. And so, you know, obviously doing my next book was going to be about the vet. And it's a tough one because it's quite a sort of a scary, stressful time. I know I get very kind of stressed and protective of my cats, especially if there's a lot of noisy dogs in the vets. You know, I get kind of like, you know, I know my cats are getting stressed, and that makes me stressed. And so it's a kind of it's a hard one to sort of pluck out the funny moments, but they are there if you can look for them. And I suppose telling it from the cat's point of view was a way of taking you to the vets, and you know, the cat gets out and he causes havoc, and he meets some friends along the way, and you get a chance to meet some other sort of inmates of the vets and have fun like that. I mean, I like the cockatoo, the poor old stressed cockatoo. He's a great character. So and, you know, yeah. So I had fun doing this book.
Would you ever want to do so? The Peanuts movie is out in America.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It started with Charlie Brown, and I've never interviewed, what's his name, Charles Schulz, who's now passed away, of course. But I've read that it started with Charlie Brown and Snoopy, and it kind of grew, and he had characters. Well, you've started with yourself and the cat, the unnamed cat. Could it grow where the cockatoo becomes a regular character, or whoever, a neighbor, and the neighbor's cat, whatever it is? And maybe do a television special or something. Has that ever occurred to you?
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, it has, you know, lots of similarities to a lot of those old shows, you know, and things that have grown up like that. You know, like, I've seen a lot of those old cartoon strips that have become movies and series. And so, yeah, it's very possible. I've certainly got enough characters to put into a series. I mean, I love my animals, and so I always try to feel. When the first book came along, I thought, well, I can't just do Simon the Cat and a Bed. So obviously, to fill a big book, and I wanted to do a big book, I thought I'd have to sort of expand his universe. So of course, I used my knowledge of birds and animals and the garden to suddenly. Invent some more characters for the cat to sort of bounce off and have adventures with.
Do you have a dog?
I personally don't have it. I mean, I do like dogs, but I don't have a dog.
Well, that would be a character addition, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, I've got a pug in the new book, and because I do like pugs, they're very funny, and I thought it'd be nice if it's kind of Simon's girlfriend's dog. That sort of comes into the house and the kind of the havoc that causes for the two cats, and how the cat has to adjust to his little kingdom being invaded.
I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
Who's smarter, Simon or Simon's cat?
I think
you've answered.
Yeah, I think the cat's got Simon's. Simon trained, but Simon doesn't realize it. As he's in real life, there's a lot of Simon's cat, which is obviously based in real life. And cats have this knack of training you without you even realizing. So you think, what, you know, I'm not going to feed you now, and whatever. You sort of have your ground rules, but before you know it, you're doing exactly what they want you to do for them. And they've got you wrapped around their little finger, and you have no idea
or their little paw. Well, it's an honor, sir, to talk to you, Simon Tofield, Simon's Cat, Off to the Vet, and Other Catastrophes. Again, fun to talk to you. Thank you so very much.
Lovely. Thank you for having me.
Simonscat.com, by the way, and check out that YouTube page. Well, I hope I get to see you on February 7th. We're going to be at Narnia Pet Behavior and Training. That's on Clough Creek Road in Plainfield. In just a bit, I can give you an email address or a phone number to call if you're interested in attending. Here's what we'll be doing. The entire session is called Decoding Your Dog, which not coincidentally is the name of a book that I worked on, co-edited with a couple of veterinary behaviorists, including Dr. John Sarabassi, right here from the Chicago area. So Dr. Sarabassi and myself will talk about anxiety in dogs, what it's really about. And sometimes it's not what you think, and that'll be what I talk about. And Dr. Sarabassi will mostly talk about separation anxiety. And this is open
for the general public. It's meant for people who help to rescue and save dogs, people who work in the field in some way. But it is open to the general public. The admission is $50, because there's the good news that that actually does go back to rescue. So I'm happy about that. For more information, info@soundbeginningprogram.com or call 630-776-8197. The event starts at 2 o'clock. It is again on February 7th. I talked a couple of weeks ago on the show about the latest craze, and I was on with Bill and Wendy talking about this too, and then received some emails saying, what is this, Steve? What's that email address? I'm interested in pants for dogs. You heard me right, pants for dogs. At last check, they were all out. It is a national craze. Yes, pants with four legs for dogs. Here's the email address you want, muddymutts.ca, muddymutts.ca. Are you interested like I am in stopping puppy mills? I'm honored to be a part of a project called the Chicago Pet Project. It's a book, a coffee table book, where all of the proceeds go to help the Puppy Mill Project. Lots of Chicago celebrities and their pets were photographed in this book by an amazing, talented photographer who we're going to get on the radio one day, Karen Morgan. She is incredible. Janet Davies is there with her pets from WLS-TV. Walter Jacobson, who contributes here on the radio, is there with his. And from Politics Tonight, Paul Lisnick is there. He's far older than his pets. Cook County Commissioner John Fritchie, Roz Varen at WLS-TV, many, many others, including myself. And you can learn more about this at ChicagoPetProjectBook.com, ChicagoPetProjectBook.com.